The Monk and the Hangman's Daughter by Ambrose Bierce. Chapter 1. On the first day of May in the year of our blessed Lord 1680, the Franciscan monks Egidius, Romanus, and Ambrosius were sent by their superior from the Christian city of Passau to the monastery of Berchtesgaden near Salzburg. I, Ambrosius, was the strongest and youngest of the three, being but 21 years of age. The monastery of Berchtesgaden was, we knew, in a wild and mountainous country, covered with dismal forests, which were infested with bears and evil spirits, and our hearts were filled with sadness to think what might become of us in so dreadful a place. But since it is a Christian duty to obey the mandates of the Church, we did not complain, and were even glad to serve the wish of our beloved and revered superior. Having received the benediction and prayed for the last time in the church of our saint, we tied up our cowls, put new sandals on our feet, and set out, attended by the blessings of all. Although the way was long and perilous, we did not lose our hope, for hope is not only the beginning and the end of religion, but also the strength of youth and the support of age. Therefore our hearts soon forgot the sadness of parting, and rejoiced in the new and varying scenes that gave us our first real knowledge of the beauty of the earth as God has made it. The color and brilliance of the air were like the garment of the Blessed Virgin. The sun shone like the golden heart of the Savior, from which streameth light and life for all mankind. The dark blue canopy that hung above formed a grand and beautiful house of prayer, in which every blade of grass, every flower and living creature, praised the glory of God. As we passed through the many hamlets, villages, and cities that lay along our way, the thousands of people, busy in all the vocations of life, presented to us poor monks a new and strange spectacle, which filled us with wonder and admiration. When so many churches came into view as we journeyed on, and the piety and ardor of the people were made manifest by the acclamations with which they hailed us, and their alacrity in ministering to our needs, our hearts were full of gratitude and happiness. All the institutions of the church were prosperous and wealthy, which showed that they had found favor in the sight of the good God whom we serve. The gardens and orchards of the monasteries and convents were well kept, proving the care and industry of the pious peasantry and the holy inmates of the cloisters. It was glorious to hear the peals of bells announcing the hours of the day. We actually breathed music in the air. The sweet tones were like the notes of angels singing praise to the Lord. Wherever we went, we greeted the people in the name of our patron saint. On all sides were manifest humility and joy, women and children hastening to the wayside, crowding upon us to kiss our hands and beseech a blessing. It almost seemed as if we were no longer poor servitors of God and man, but lords and masters of this whole beautiful earth. Let us, however, not grow proud in spirit, but remain humble, looking carefully into our hearts, lest we deviate from the rules of our holy order and sin against our blessed saint. I, Brother Ambrosius, confess with penitence and shame that my soul caught itself upon exceedingly worldly and sinful thoughts. It seemed to me that the women sought more eagerly to kiss my hands than those of my companions, which surely was not right, since I am not more holy than they. Besides, I am younger and less experienced and tried in the fear and commandments of the Lord. When I observed this error of the women and saw how the maidens kept their eyes upon me, I became frightened and wondered if I could resist should temptation accost me. And often I thought, with fear and trembling, that vows and prayers and penance alone do not make one a saint. One must be so pure in heart that temptation is unknown. Ah, me! At night we always lodged in some monastery, invariably receiving a pleasant welcome. Plenty of food and drink was set before us, and as we sat at table the monks would crowd about, asking for news of the great world of which it was our blessed privilege to see and learn so much. When our destination was learned, we were usually pitied for being doomed to live in the mountain.